The work is good, and it is never done.
Stressful relationship conversations and auditions and ranting to yourself on your voice app on your phone. All of those things aside, it is still the work day. And what that means exactly for our rebels here is community center activities and things that need to get done. Specifically today, we close in on the food bank day. And also when the Dandelion Kindergarten kids are able to come over and within the after school program that the community center provides as well, it is kind of like a home economics day for the kids. There is an urban gardening little area also within the community center where people are able to exercise their skills of not only landscaping, but also gardening, small construction jobs, and so much more. Lots of science projects are also happening here, and there is a closed off little spot where there are some like high schoolers that need to do like a little agricultural job. So everyone in the community center, make sure this is closed off for these specific high schoolers named Brandy and Thomas. You know, very adorable stuff. Varun, right now, your usual project is during the after-school program that happens, you know, every weekday. The kindergartners get their stuff settled in little cubbies, and you know that usually every day where there is an influx, either provided from the community garden or just donated in whatever way, the pantry always has lentils, beans, all sorts of like canned sort of things, canned meats. But specifically today, Eva, the board of directors for on-site operations at the Four Seasons, has assigned that we really just got to use all of these particular items. So what is in front of you is not only everything like within the pantry and like usual things, but you have potatoes, collard greens, and leeks. So a lot of the time, truly most of the time, every time, you have to make recipes and just create kind of a recipe plan for the kids to learn on the day. As everyone kind of cycles in, you also have the rest of your rebels here that either they're there to eat or hang out or whatever. Varun, how do you set up your battle station here as the kids are like settling in, and also everyone like, how do you kind of help Varun make this station, or like help him just in general in this scene?
I can describe Varun's battle station. It certainly looks like a battle station. It's an apt descriptor. All of the necessary tools, whether it's pots, pans, knives, are all neatly laid out in an organized form. You know, this already, for like the potatoes, collard greens, and the leeks, like this already, especially the leeks, there's already like a little bowl of like the leeks already been prepared. The potatoes have already been washed and things like that. And they're all kind of separated and put into their very specific containers already. But at the corner of the battle station, of this kind of like main desk area, Varun has a stack of stickers that he has designed and purchased for the kids. For the kids that complete this program, get a cute little sticker that they have done a one of these like fun recipe classes with him. So there's that feeling of like accomplishment for when they complete this task. And I think the rest of y'all see Varun with his hands gripping his tight curls on his head as he looks down at the ingredients and goes, every week I feel like I'm on the episode of Chopped and I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing with any of these ingredients. As he stares at the potatoes, the collard greens, and the leeks, and you already see him kind of like furiously looking at all three of them and trying to come up with ideas. That's the scene you all like embark on as soon as you see him.
Everyone has adorable, ill-fitting aprons, by the way. The aprons are for children.
He is wearing an ill-fitted apron, and he's, like, wearing these, like very light blue shirt and like very plain trousers and this tiny apron that only covers like probably just his torso, if that, around him.
I think I interrupted you, Donna. Sorry, go for it.
No, you're totally fine. No worries. I love the apron detail. It's so cute. Ren's apron is like too large, and so her knees like really knock against it as she approaches. Varun, who is clutching his head, clutching his hair.
Hey, Varun, like, why are you clutching your hair like a chimpanzee whose habitat's getting destroyed?
Oh, my God.
Varun, like, just lets out this defeated sigh. I'm trying to find a way to make green sound appetizing and exciting for kids. Like, look at this. And he holds up the leek like it's a little sword. Like, look at this. How am I going to make this interesting for kids? Kids see something green and they go, ew, that's disgusting. What's that, a leek? Hate the name. Not gonna eat that. And he like sets it back down to the chopping board. I might be a defeated man today. I need to come up with something quick.
Oh.
And you see him kind of like rushing towards like the pantry and picking up a couple of these canned products, like canned meats. To try and he like steps forward again. It's like, maybe if I make this with potatoes and then saute these, and he gestures to the vegetables, something can happen.
Arjun and Chloe also. Chloe, for you, I think just throughout just walking literally past the community center every day, every time is this thrum between you, the world, and the void that reminds you that there is a great battle won in all technicality, but there is a draw for you to still be around the community center. So whether or not like a group chat proper necessarily has been made or whatever, all of you might even just be surprised to see Chloe as she approaches.
Yeah, I think Chloe certainly does not have an apron designated for this task because she has possibly never helped with this before, but she has borrowed one from someone that is also far too large and I think very personalized to them. So there's like a different name written on the little ties.
Richard.
That she has. Yeah, the little ties just say Richard and she has had to fasten it like around her waist two or three times to get it to sort of stay.
I think, yeah, Varun sees Chloe, like, mosey on over with an apron that clearly says Richard, and tries to crack a joke, as he points finger guns at you and just says, ah, Richard, here to help us out? Help me put me out of my misery?
What exactly are you doing, anyway?
Cooking class, and he has his arms outstretched as you see the potatoes, the leeks, and the collard greens on the chopping block, and also like a smattering miscellaneous collection of canned meats.
Oh, you're making Colcannon, or?
I'm trying to find a way to make vegetables interesting
for kids.
Yeah, I know how bad it sounds, okay, but the community center really needs these out, and they don't keep very well anyway, so we should clear them out today if we can.
I mean, my mom used to just cut up the vegetables really small and hide them for me, but I think that probably doesn't work if you're the one showing them what you're doing.
Yeah, you see the problem, huh? Can't really hide them like I usually do if they're seeing what's happening right before their eyes. Unless I make it into some sort of magic act. But I'm going to need a volunteer to make it seem like it's magic. Like, ooh, look, the vegetables have disappeared.
I think that is a everyone looks at Arjun, because if you need someone for showmanship...
An actor?
I mean, okay, don't all speak up at once. All right, fine, I'll do it.
Oh, my hero, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he like rushes over to you, ill-fitting apron and all, and has already begun fastening an apron over your head and put it on you in the time that he took to shake your hands.
Hey, stop.
And all of you know, and kind of like as you're sort of like processing and like lamenting, you all now realize in game, you have about 7 minutes to come up with a recipe. So I want to ask all of you, what is sort of the vibe? What are you going to make and help make for these children?
We could do a...
We could do a frittata.
A frittata?
A frittata.
Oh, lots of eggs. Lots of eggs.
Yeah.
Kids love eggs. Kids love frittatas.
Kids love... I love eggs, and I loved eggs when I was a kid.
And if you put the collard greens in there, then it's like green eggs and ham. The collard greens and canned meat.
Yeah. Let's do that. And we can make them...
Green
eggs and spam. We can also make it really...
Green eggs and
spam. We can actually make it really fun. And this is where the super specific activity that that Varun's going to make Arjun do.
Oh, no.
Where we can make it fun for the kids because they like to like use their hands and make it fun by like slicing the frittata in such a way that you can roll it around like the like flavored spam that we've got. And they can eat it in like one bite. So like Varun's gonna like have Arjun like help with the rolling up of all of these things. And as he's demonstrating it, he's demonstrating you like you're a mannequin. And he's like, all right, here's the food. And he like flies the little morsel of food into your mouth and feeds you. Look, it's delicious. Look at your big brother Arjun. He loves it so much.
Arjun just puts like a thumbs up.
Ren has one hand recording it, and then the other hand is covering her eyes. Like, she's just so embarrassed.
You know, I'd be like, Ren, delete that immediately.
It's going on the community center Instagram page. I don't know what you're talking about.
My brand.
Red makes like a fan edit where it's like it just zooms, like zooms into like pop music.
Sorry about your audition. Hope they don't Google your name.
It's like no.
Like, no, this is great for image.
What? Is my cooking that bad?
No, it. Pain. this is not conducive to my brand image.
The children all like clap and just sort of cheer. Who like would there be like repeating children with a repeated attendance that like know and like recognize like who some of you are?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, not Richard.
Not Richard. That's confusing for some kids. And I'm sure some kids would make it very known to you about how confusing that is. Because I have kids, like kids who hung around me and they were like, you have a beard now, like something as small as that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, congratulations, I do.
One of the kids who is covered in raw egg and like flour, somehow there's flour.
Oh no.
Goes over to Chloe, grabs your pant leg, not the apron, and just sort of says, is your name really Richard?
I think that's what it says, doesn't it?
That's my dad's name.
Okay, Ren's gonna go, and she's just as old!
In the distance, you hear clattering pans as Faru drops something.
The child says, are you my dad?
Yeah, so you better respect me.
You're not my dad.
You're not my dad.
I don't know. How can you be sure?
The child walks away in an existential crisis.
Look at what you've done.
Eats the frittata haunted.
Oh no.
It is definitely a new energy and much appreciated from the kids. Once again, like being able to eat after school, you're providing these children, at the very least, if they're not getting dinner at home, they're able to get this dinner or a much needed like late lunch situation, an opportunity to eat. There is also plenty of like not so much sugar, like drinks for them to be able to also enjoy. And there is also a nap room that there is probably also other like caretakers that are like properly salaried or like on some kind of wage situation that are able to like take the kids off of your plate, Varun. And you are thanked so much. All of you were thanked again for making this such a fun, like rowdy opportunity for the kids. As the children are able to settle into their nap times before they are properly able to get picked up by their guardians, there's something that catches the corner of your eye, specifically Arjun. Everyone's either in the process of cleaning up or about to finish, but you're noticing someone has entered into your acting classroom that should be locked.
He's gonna look to the others and just kind of at least look to Varun, like, hey, I'm gonna be right back. Take off his apron and kind of head over to check on the classroom.
Oh, okay. And you will notice the door is left slightly ajar, but the room is left dark. Like, this person, whoever it may be, has not specifically turned the lights on, but has their own like phone flash on in the dark room. Unless you turn the lights on or find another like sort of light source, they're like farther into the room that you're unsure if you see the exact silhouette or identification of this person.
See, I was gonna think about doing caution, but I mean, you know what? Nah. Let's bring him into the light for a bit. So he's just gonna just straight up flip the light switch and just can I help you?
Turning around, sort of fumbling, like a slight jump, is what seems to be this white woman. And sure enough, a white woman that is very familiar to you. Natasha Sheridan, a bleach blonde, a person attempting to wear avant-garde and esoteric, but does not necessarily like have either like the physical, like bodily, like confidence to also pull off at the same time, or certain makeup skill to like really like marry it all together, but is an annoyingly confident figure regardless, with like a blue vibrant lipstick, goes from like a state of like slight surprise to like a gasp of recognition, acknowledgement, and then a face that you have seen so shallowly on the faces of many of a reporter or paparazzi reporter that has stalked you before. Oh my god, I had no idea that you were in today.
I asked you a question. What are you doing here? Can I help you? Why are you here? You can tell he's a little bit like just annoyed, essentially just like, oh god, not again.
Well, so I know you had, I think, one of your acting lessons before. So I have a client that apparently left some very important, I don't know, what was it again? Like a portfolio behind or something along those lines. I didn't want to bother anyone, so I just tried to see if I could make my way through, and lo and behold, here I am. Doesn't really seem like there's anything. I'm not really sure what kind of goose chase my client is trying to put me through, but I'll be totally out of your hair if there's nothing. I suppose there's nothing in here. How have you been doing? Do you have any projects these days?
No comment.
Oh, come on. Really nothing?
He's just kind of just pinching his... Like, he's pinching his nose, honestly, just like, all the things, was just, like, in his mind, he's mainly thinking of all the things that I wanted to have to deal with. This is, oh, why did it have to be this?
how has specifically Natasha been a problem for you before?
Natasha has been rather dogged, let's say, in her pursuit to get an interview from Arjun. Even going so far as to follow him multiple times. So it very much a sore point of annoyance for him.
Specifically, even Natasha has been so interested in your projects, like your indie projects, anything that you have done. It seems like Caldera just constantly needs some kind of thing that she needs to pin some success to. So you'll find in very weird, strange ways that some people like give you credit for certain local things that like definitely leaves some kind of sore spots between you and other like acting figures in the community, which is definitely not what anyone ever wants to think is the case. But she's the one that puts out local magazine things, and she is really able to just put out a bunch of garbage and make it sound decent or nice. Natasha puts on this air that, like what many other reporter might, we're in the same community. You can speak casually to me or something along those lines, but you're putting up that very professional wall here, that barrier, that boundary. Do you respond to that energy that she, like the last thing that she said being, oh, come on, there's really nothing that you're currently working on, just like between two people in between jobs and gigs?
He's going to keep up that, I guess, professional demeanor, because he doesn't really, even if he did have something he was working on, whether it be like terms of projects or gigs that he's landed or even films that he would want to promote, he wouldn't feel comfortable telling it to her, of all people. Maybe another reporter who had, I don't know, who wouldn't be causing all this tension, or just even, I don't know, causing undue strife on his name. He'd be comfortable telling it to another reporter, just not her. He'll just repeat what he said before. Again, no comment.
She kind of like shrugs, claps her hands together, kind of very subtly, like pointing her phone screen inwards towards her chest in that motion. Well, extremely excited for the next thing that you are ever a part of. I was actually going to ask you, maybe I'll shoot you an email, because obviously she has your email, about what like the next like community theater play is going to be. I'm like, we really need like another like art piece, and we're just really interested in seeing what you have going on to develop here. Okay, bye. And then just kind of scuttles out.
I guess seeing her scuttle out, he's just gonna let out a large just sigh. Just like, God, that woman never quits.
Would you like to use rebel eyes here to see what exactly she could have been looking for?
Yeah, actually I would. Because that actually would kind of catch Arjun's attention as to why was she even in here? Because he definitely wouldn't believe the fact of her excuse of, oh, a client left a portfolio here. Like, he's not buying that for a second.
Absolutely. So, rebel eyes. When you spend time looking for information, say what you're trying to learn and check against heat. So, heat. How aware hostile elements are of your interference in their activities. The more ticks, the closer the vassal and the rest of the castle's minions are to finding out your identity. So this next, you're in sort of this in-between stage here where it was clear who that initial tier one vassal was, and that was Chloe. And Chloe's clock, how y'all went through that intensifying levels of awareness is not quite bearing down on your backs quite yet. Okay, so roll two, and let me see, what were your hits?
Two sixes. against
two sixes, okay.
Heck yeah.
On a hit, you'll have a clear idea how to get the information, but the architect may give you one or two of these requirements. It'll take until later today / tomorrow to get it. You'll have to put yourself in danger. You have to tick a gauge to get it, or you'll need blank to help you get it. Okay, so let me think. I'm only going to give you... I might not even give you any requirement because you got fucking 12 here. Or two sixes, rather. Honestly, let's just go ahead and say that. On that hit, you're going to get a clear idea how to get the information, and there are no specific requirements. You're able to get it within basically the amount of time it takes for everyone to finish cleaning. You notice that in a kind of like storage cabinet where a bunch of files are made and kept and organized of like previous people who have registered for the acting classes or like new people for the acting classes, you've noticed that there are two new files that have been placed.
Okay.
And specifically, let me pull up the names. The two names that seem to be placed are from two people, one named Kensil and one named Sisi, spelled S-I-S-I. So two new names seemingly on these files. And that could mean a number of things, that there are just two new people that have registered, or most likely, because you are the one that goes through these files all the time, and you've been here even yesterday, that have been placed.
Yeah, he's definitely feeling a little uncomfortable. He definitely wants to take a look at the files, but he's not sure if... Why am I forgetting her name? He's not sure if Natasha... I don't know, maybe either watching from either somehow or just might just be waiting to ambush him again. So, I think he's gonna probably take the files and take them home to check out later on.
Are there any interactions just here in this moment between Chloe, Ren, and Varun?
Could you imagine? It's just really tense. Like, they're all looking at each mm-hmm. other.
Awkward silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just...
But I think Varun is... Because the kids are napping now, right? I think there might be, like, a stack of notebooks or, like, little kids' journals that are part of the community center. And he's got these angled tweezers, and he is setting stickers into each of these notebooks in their like designated little square, trying to avert the silence by busying his hands with something. So, how's everyone feeling?
Ren's gonna go, I feel great. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, Chloe?
Ren, please. Oh my god.
Else just like gritting her teeth. So great.
The most barbed of questions.
Oh my god, so great? Why? Did something good happen to you recently?
Ren, I mean, we don't have to get that into everything, do we?
No. I think we should learn more about Chloe's life, right?
I mean, I just met my child, and she points down to her little, like, Richard strings.
You see Varun actually does chuckle.
Ren is just like, her face has not changed at all. And she's just kind of like, big open eyes, like she's fanging ignorance. And she's just like, nothing else?
I mean, I'd hate to monopolize the conversation. What's great that's happening with you? Why are you great?
I think you love monopolizing things, so I feel like we should just let you have the floor.
Okay, and Varun, finally finishes putting the last sticker in the last notebook and closes it shut and slides, the books over on end and turns around on this chair to like face Chloe and Ren, and it's just like, hey, we know what has happened, and we have, things happened, and we are just worried. Ren is just worried. Ren and I, collectively, probably Arjun as well, collectively. How are you feeling, really? We know the process is always difficult, and we are just checking in.
Oh, is that what was happening here, Ren?
Ren goes,
yes, that's what's happening, right, Ren?
Ren goes,
is we in the room with us right now?
Ren, please.
You know what? You're right. No, yeah, we're just checking in. How are you and Mithrin doing?
A knock on the kitchen door finally kind of like comes in to potentially like, oh God, thank God, Arjun. It is not Arjun, unfortunately. It is Natasha. Breaking through the considerable tension by adding her own, it seems, she looks over and only puts her focus onto Chloe. Sort of says, and you've met Natasha before as just someone who has done an interview aplenty with you, certainly, but also is the name of the person that has written the magazine article about you. Knocks kind of like on the inside of the room, addressing Chloe. Hi, so sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt anything that was happening. Could I speak to you super quick, actually, Chloe?
I'm so sorry. We have to finish the dinner or the food cleanup. Maybe some other time. You can make a call at my office and schedule an appointment.
That's very interesting that you say your office. It's actually on behalf.
On behalf of my office? Because last time I checked, you're not a city employee. You're a journalist?
In between all of this, Varun, you're getting a phone call at the moment, and it is from Mithrin.
You also, Ren,
oh
you,
oh no.
Ren, you see Varun pick up the phone, look at the name, cover it as if whoever's on the other line can hear him, and it's just like, shit.
Ren's immediately gonna go, who is it?
That's my brother.
Oh my God, put him on speaker.
I'm not going to do that, Ren.
No, I feel like we were, so curious about how Chloe's doing. Why not put Mithrin on?
I do not want to get chewed out by my brother, Ren. That's why.
Oh, but he's so nice to you. He won't chew you out. And it's been so long since I've talked to him. Put him on.
Let me at least gauge what the conversation is. Maybe if I bring up that you're here, maybe he will. Actually, that might not be a bad idea. If I bring up that you're here, maybe he won't be as mad. So I think Varun answers the call and is just like, hi, Baya, in a very like cheerful voice to greet Mithrin, who's on the other end of the line.
Do you have a second to talk?
And you see Varun's, like, I think he did click speaker, so you hear Ren that Mithrin says, do you have a sec to talk? And you see Varun's face fall. Yeah, I do. And then switches off the speaker, puts his head against the phone, and starts scuttling towards, like, the edge of the kitchen where the fridge is, and just, like, hides in the shadow there. Yeah, I can talk.
As that conversation is happening, back to Natasha, who continues to press you, basically, Chloe, is there any move that you would like to do at this point?
There's one that I could do. What is bad? And I think that I will use it. So, instead of make a stand, which forces someone to pay attention to you, I have dominate. which is, when you make someone feel small, mark stain, and the architect will describe how they back down, retreat, or give you what they think you want. They'll retaliate when they feel safe. Accept this retaliation as a crisis, or mark stain again to have the crisis strike another rebel. So I think that Chloe is going to try and continue to talk down to Natasha, just in order to get her out of this room and out of contact. Like, if we have to talk and I have to deal with this, that will be fine as long as Ren is not also in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you speak to her right now?
Natasha, I really don't think that you're here on behalf of the city or my job. I mean, why would they hire some two-bit muttraker to do this? Surely you can go scouring long after Arjun or something? That seems more your speed.
Natasha will deflate here. I think there does seemingly seem to be this, like, urgency that she has, because what you also can put together is that Arjun is literally in the room, like, right next door, and Natasha just kind of goes, getting hit with those words in front of, like, other people as well, not expecting this necessarily to be as difficult of a interaction between the two of you, just sort of goes, okay, interesting. My apologies, counselor. This is where we're going to call in the other half of that shameless here, where one of your covenants are going to hear about the company you're keeping, and that company being Ren. Natasha continues, I just wanted to give my condolences for, you know, the rest of the deal not solidifying. I know that you were working still so hard recently on trying to make something work still. So I wanted to just offer if there was anything else that I could do, any connects that you could still make, just let me know. You have my email. She looks over, kind of eyeing Ren, and then eyes Varun again. Have a good night. And then she finally gets out of your hair.
Ren is gonna turn to Chloe and go, oh, a deal? What deal?
You're not going to listen to her, are you? I mean, her job is to stir up drama.
Yeah. And what deal?
Her information must be out of date. The deal that you all helped me see was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As this is happening, on the phone with Varun right now, you scuttle to the corner. Mithrin just asks, do you have a second to talk? You say yes.
Hey.
The two of you kind of, like, speak at the same time.
Hey. I am worried about Chloe. And I don't really know that the two of you have, I mean, generally hang out or speak to each other, but can I ask you something?
About Chloe? I mean, we hang out sometimes at the house, and, you know, sometimes Chloe's over at the community center. He says community center very, very quietly.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not unaware that usually whenever she hangs out, it's usually initiated or predicated with my presence also being there.
Of course. So. Yes. Just the three of us hanging out like pals, unless you two need to be alone.
When Chloe tells me that apparently I have to worry about something that you said to her that made her change something happening at her job, which was supposed to be huge for everyone, huge for Caldera, huge for her. Do I have to be worried about something?
Worried? Why would you need to be worried? What do you mean?
I could be putting too much on you right now, and I'm sorry about that, but she's not usually so off of everything. It's not even something that I really knew the status of, so I just... If there was apparently something that you knew over me in the situation, it's just odd.
And we see Varun biting his lips. He's kind of doing the Asian squat right by the fridge of the community center kitchen. And as he's biting his lip, trying to figure out how to get out of this mess that he's put himself in, he just says really softly and gently, "Well, whatever anyone could have said to Chloe, whatever Chloe had to do for whatever reason that's supposedly good for Caldera, good for this place, maybe she also has an opinion on that, and that maybe she too had a change of heart. No one can force someone to do what's right or wrong, right? Maybe she found a better way to make things better."
I'm going to ask you to make a move here.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Please roll to connect.
Yep, I had a feeling. I'm just going to...
When you connect, when you try to connect with somebody by... There are three different ways that we can go about this. Convincing them you're worth their time. Check against infamy. Making the vassal's threat clear, check against heat. Putting up a false front, check against lack. So is this coming from a place, are you lying to your brother? Are you trying to convince him that your opinion is worth his time to listen to? Mm. Or that there is a greater threat here that needs to be heard?
It's either him trying to convince that his opinion matters, or... that is a greater threat. But I think in this moment, it's more about him, right? Because it is Mithrin's coming into this with this idea of like, you said something, and so Varun's not going to deny that he may have said something, but maybe what he said holds some value in this moment. Amazing. Let's see. I have not much in there. So we'll see how this goes. Where's the moves again?
This is, you're rolling against infamy?
Yeah.
Got it.
So let's see. Boop, boop, boop. Okay. Okay. That's great. That's fine.
What do you need to roll over?
I believe, because I only have the one pip.
In infamy?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you roll?
I rolled two ones.
Okay.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
That's so wild.
I am not kidding.
That's so narratively delicious.
We are absolutely, as a reminder, the infamy stress gauge is, are you famed, tolerated, or reviled? The more ticks, the more you risk becoming shunned by society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in general, thankfully, you only have one tick. But in this moment, it doesn't even matter. There is no hit, not even a strong hit, not even a weak hit, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Convincing that your opinion is worth his time, despite the fact that he even doubted himself that maybe this was an opinion that was just all in Mithrin's head. As you say your opinion, as you say this thing about Mithrin's girlfriend, despite all the years that you've potentially also known Chloe, his language is clear. Chloe is an extension of Mithrin in his own mind. And Mithrin just sort of says, like, his breath picks up in kind of like a way that he isn't sure if whether or not to like land with a certain amount of intensity or not. The intensity lands, however.
Are you trying to say something about Chloe? That she had a bad opinion that what she's doing is not important or something?
No, that's not what I'm trying to say at all. I'm just saying maybe people change their minds and see things in a different light.
Something had to have happened to Chloe. And for some reason, you are not saying something about whatever it is that happened. And we're going to find out. I'm not coming home for dinner, so just let everybody know.
And then he hangs up.
Mithrin, I...
And Faroon sits there for a moment, still in that squat, staring at the wallpaper on his phone. That's a picture of himself and Arjun, and he is dragging behind the both of them. Mithrin, who is cracking the tiniest corner smile. Probably one of the few photos that exists of that.
Arjun, you come back into the room to Ren and Chloe yelling at each other. Not yelling, but essentially girl yelling to each other. And what seems to be Varun growing mushrooms in the corner.
Clearly, I missed everything.
No, I don't think so. Chloe was just going to tell us about her deal. Right, Chloe? That's what you were going to do? Just now? Going to share it with the rest of us?
I already told you that I'm trying to fix the deal that I had made that you stopped me from making. And if you hadn't done that, then things would be a lot easier and less tense right now.
Oh.
But I'm fixing it.
Really? You're fixing it? You're fixing it?
That journalist wouldn't be scrounging around here if I wasn't fixing it.
Arjun's gonna probably perk up at the mention of Natasha, like, I'm sorry, journalist?
Josephine at Scary Dog Friend plays the architect and edits the show. The biggest thanks to Minerva McJanda for creating our system, Void Heart Symphony. You can find Josephine producing actual plays at Badhouse RPG and Nameless Domain. Other podcasts you can find her include Someplace to Be, a system-hopping actual play with an indie focus, and Monster Fuckers Anonymous, rating and dating your favorite monsters everywhere you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again to Goblets and Gays for hosting us, and all the music you hear today is from Epidemic Sound.
Abhishek Matange, he/him, plays Arjun Kumar. You can find him voice acting, as well as starring in other TTRPG APs, such as Zenith over at Sword and Key, premiering August 29th, as well as Iron Sworn the Valley Season 2 over at Nerds with Dice, premiering September 5th. You can also find him being a huge tokusatsu nerd over at neon_raiden at twitter.com.
Alyssa at A Disaster Queer plays Chloe, Penitent. You can find them here on Goblets and Gaze, for our Pathfinder series Tyrant of the Dark Star, as well as on An Unwavering Force, a Star Wars actual play.
Donna, she, her, plays Ren Kong. You can find her voice acting, playing other TTRPGs, and overall being a goofy gal at Shabro on Twitter.com.
Leanna Albanese, any pronouns, plays Halcyon. You can find them acting, producing, and generally goofing around at Leanna Albanese on all platforms.
Valiant Dorian, at Valiant Dorian or at Oxo Spirit Bear, plays Varun Pillay. You can find him as a main cast member of Transplanar RPG's The Chaos Protocol, hosting his TTRPG talk show Dicey Banter, and designing wild-hearted, monstrous games like his in-development TTRPG, The Beast Within, a grungy action RPG with a werebeast twist.
You're not my dad!